Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. You got the one Uncle Bill again. It's coming from you from live and within. Oh, Lord, I'm getting great at that. Tonight's show, however, will be carried totally and by himself, the one and only Leon. Leon will be giving you a blast from the past. He's going to tell you a lot that you didn't know. He's going to tell you a lot that you wanted to know. And then the surprise comes. Leon is going to tell you about truth and tradition. That's the topic of tonight's show. Were you ever told one of those biggest fish stories ever when you was a little child or when you were a youngster? You know, the one that you couldn't tell nobody else. You had to believe it because if it was told by your dad or your uncle, you might get your butt whooped. But you knew that old man down the road didn't catch no fish that big. But, you know, that's the history of truth and tradition. We believe some things because we have to. We believe a lot of them because we want to. Well, tonight, you're going to get some facts. So, with that, I give you all the honor, Mr. Leon. Whatever you need to know about him, ask him. He'll tell you. And believe it or not, you might not have to ask him because he's got faith, he's got believability, and he's got me in his corner at all times. So, believe that. Leon, it's up to you. I'm out of it. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I can listen, but I'm not going to help. If they get rowdy, you know what to do. Yes, I taught him how to run. Y'all holler. I'm out of here. You got it, Leon.
Thank you, Daddy. Hello, listeners. My name is Leon. Leon Holloway Parnell. Everybody that know me around the way call me Confidence or Scooter. Tonight's show is, like my daddy said, it's about truths and traditions. My story is a unique one because I choose to not be a victim, and with every challenge that I've had to use my knowledge, my wit, or whatever I was handed in life, the tools. I've had to use those bare essentials to overcome anything before me, which brought me to tonight's subject in truths and traditions. I was told a story about a little boy. This little boy, he saw his mom, and she was cooking meatloaf. When she took the meatloaf out of the oven, she cut the ends off the meatloaf. When the little boy saw this, it aroused curiosity in him. And so he asked his mom, he said, "Mom, why you cut the ends off the meatloaf?" And she said, "Does it taste good?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "Then don't worry about it." So the little boy, not really, you know, thinking about it, went on about his business. But the mom now has the curiosity. she had to ask herself, why did I cut the ends off the meatloaf? I cut them off because my mama told me to cut them off. So she called her mom. She asked her mom. She said, Mom, I was cooking dinner, and my son asked me why we cut the meat, the ends off the meatloaf. Mom said, do we like it? She said, yeah. She said, well, then don't worry about it. So the mama didn't even get an answer from the grandmother. The grandmother, in turn, had curiosity. She didn't know why. She taught her daughter to cut off the ends on the meatloaf. So she called Big Mama. Everybody got a Big Mama. If you don't have a Big Mama or a mother dear, you need to find you one. These are the old wise ladies that's the pillars of our community. And these women hold the knowledge that keep our people alive. She, the granny, called Big Mama. And Big Mama had an outstanding response that really shook them all. When the granny called Big Mama, she said, Big Mama, we have a problem. You taught me to cut the ends off the meatloaf, and I taught my daughter. My daughter has a son, and her son asked her, Mama, why we cut the ends off the meatloaf? So now I'm asking you, Big Mama, why we cut the ends off the meatloaf? Well, Big Mama said, I don't know why y'all cut the ends off y'all meatloaf, but I cut the ends off my meatloaf to make it fit in the pan. That story enlightened a path to me and let me know that we follow our elders just because. We follow people and we never ask the pertinent questions. We never ask why. Somebody has to ask why. Because then and only then shall you get answers. Okay. This year, 2015, this Christmas, it was a special Christmas for me because it was my first Christmas that I actually participated in about 25 years. Now, this is because I don't necessarily believe in all of the traditions that surround our holidays. I think the holidays differ from culture to culture, color, and cult. So tonight, I ask the people to question your traditions, to pull out the truths. We've been taught by many in our population that the doctor has all the knowledge about our body. And I beg to differ with people that know their self, because a human body is more than just skin, bone, blood, and cells. It's also spirit. So I believe that people can know their self more than a physician. These traditions, they haunt us because other people capitalize off of your tradition. If I'm a person that don't celebrate traditions, what better way would it be for me to make a living than selling people their traditional things? I may not participate, but what way to make a living? Even if I don't understand it. My life has been let me say to the side that I really believe that people make choices based on influence. Influence can be influenced by pleasure. It can be an influence because of displeasure. It can be an influence because well, we know it's going to be for some kind of pleasure or displeasure. But what I want people to understand is that in looking for the truth in things, you have to do your research, and I encourage everybody to look for your truth, because the just a second, I'm pulling up some notes. I want people to think that it's an umbrella. It's an umbrella that covers our people from certain realities. That's like the holidays. Some holidays we celebrate, we have gotten so commercial with celebrating that we get not focus on the true story we lose out on true and meaningful things by following traditions. I'm having a little problem right now trying to pull up my notes, but
and I can't help you because I didn't know the notes.
Okay. No, we good.
Yeah, I'm better. Hey. It's all a learning curve.
These traditions that I had some that I was specifically looking for a reason why I got sidetracked. I wanted to look for some references. There's a doctor that came from Florida State University. His name is Dr. Naeem Akbar. Dr. Naeem, he talks about psychological change and slavery on the mind. Well, what his angle is that people use commercialism advertising as a sort of bondage, because people who don't know psychology can easily become a patient of. As we know now, they have a list, a smorgasbord of diagnoses for mental illnesses. And in reality, I believe that there is only one mental illness, and that's true insanity. And only that person would know. Because the scientists, I mean, God has a natural way of showing us in nature things are true. And they found that in decomposing bodies, it's chemical. In decomposing bodies that they find in people, that it's going crazy and insane. The body just deteriorating, decay like that. I want to bring to people's attention that this doctor, he told about the hand-me-downs that we got, like ideas, the idea to go get gold teeth in our mouth, the idea to wear our pants below our waist.
Good question. Let me ask something on that. Let me ask one question while you're in there. I was going to be writing something about different cultures and the whole nine yards. And I remembered long, long time ago, way before you was born, reading in a book about plate knife Africans, who I'm pretty sure now, since we haven't heard about them in years and years and years and years, it's pretty much extinct now. Unless you go over there and find some uncivilized portions of Africa that hasn't been tampered with, church or anything else, where there's some more, you know, cultures and relations that still exist. But to the so-called civilized human world now, you know, other entities conquered and scratched that out and annihilated it and killed it. Do you think that was a reason for that? Because, you know, the same thing people say about gold teeth and everything else. Nowadays, everybody's getting them. You know, even people of other cultures and things. And what the fact is actually missing is that in other nations and other cultures, stuff like that was established so long ago, and it created identities within the tribes who had the biggest plate, you know, who had the, you know, all of that in their mouths and stuff, who had the biggest bow tie on their head, and who had the biggest diamond. And see, back then, they didn't know how expensive those diamonds and stuff were. But they shined real bright. Who had the biggest diamond in their mouth? Who had the biggest diamond in their nose? And they didn't put them in like we put them in now. So you understand a lot of things to carry on a culture in that those days and times. Why is it now that it's becoming more popular now? I'm going to be putting two or three goals in my mouth in the very near future. And I just wonder, you know, because I was relating mine back to when even Indian tribes here had different ornaments and stuff on their face and their hair, stuff like that. For a long while, to other people, it wasn't American. It wasn't hip. It wasn't, you know, what's going on, because they didn't like it. So now you come into the principle of likes, desires, and everything else, but I don't think those were the reasons in the way distant past. I don't even think it was in the recent past of the Indians of America. But can you, you know, traditions and things like that, some was stifled and some was glorified. Is there a difference in that?
There is. And there, let's address it like the goatee. The goatee thing, we can look at it in, it's about perspective. Where does the mind lie? Where is the head? Okay, so if I have a guy that has a third grade education with $15,000 in his mouth, and this individual he's not a productive member of society, meaning he's not creating jobs, he's not a protector, you know, he's a capitalist, meaning everything is sacrificed for the almighty dollar in his eyes. For some people, this is a status symbol to say to others that I'm about money. Give me money. When you deal with me, my dealings are money. Gold is was the most harvested precious metal on earth. This fever that you get once you get from searching for gold. However, now the mentality that goes with that is some post-traumatic slave kind of thinking, because everything that the master had, we thought that that was our rightful place. We wanted so badly to knock that master down off that high horse. Even the cliche high horse was invented and created right here on American soil, because we're referring to this person that looks down on another. Okay, so the tradition of having gold teeth, I was blessed enough to be born in the 70s. I was born in a generation that was what was the ones where you got one or two goals, and I was born. I'm older than the guys that get, that take all the money in their pocket and put it in their mouth. My thing is, I have friends that can compete mentally on the level with a person that's graduated from high school. So I know for a fact that they can't compete on a world level. Now, when you talk about conversation mixed with this jury in the mouth, you have to think. See, in psychology, they teach that you have a strategy in communication. Your strategy is to send your message, and for that message to be delivered, because if it's not delivered and received, it's not communication. So when you get to talking to an individual and they're sitting at a boardroom table with a CEO, a COO, and a CFO, and he has a mouth full of goals at the other end of the table, because you don't see a COO, CEO, or CFO like that. Even Master P, one of the smartest men, I think, in the rap industry, took him out of his mouth. Because when he finally reached the level where he wanted to be, he saw that the gold was only the first level in our time. Like you said, people saw diamonds and saw that they were just shiny objects. But diamond is the top. We, as poor people, we think bronze, silver, gold. People that live in the Millionaires Club and Billionaires Boys Club, they think gold, platinum, diamond. The gold, yellow gold, is a lesser of the metals. Platinum being a more rare metal, and even diamond being the most precious of all substances, because it's hard, it's the hardest substance, and it can be used in so many different ways, industrial uses and all. The tradition, it becomes bad, a spiteful thing, because we, as a people, meaning black people, we cannot afford to be in excess. We were promised a promise that our descendants, our family, our siblings and cousins and aunties and uncles will be as many as the sands on the beach. With that being said, we cannot hoard wealth. The wealth is to be distributed. However, I mean, you have the powers that be. You have people that are plagued by the spirit of greed. So of course you're gonna have people that's gonna wanna capitalize. Oh, they're gonna capitalize off of your traditions. In reality, you know, I'm not really attacking anyone's beliefs, I have all white teeth. I have some some dental work that I would like to to be fixed on. However, I never wanted to fill my mouth with gold, because I didn't want to be what the image would see, the image would portray me as. The image that people have associated with people with gold in their mouth is that they're maybe they're a con. Maybe this person is a slickster. it's a negative connotation toward such vanity is what I'm saying. People label goals in the mouth as being vain. Okay. Now, given if I didn't have my natural teeth, I would do some things to kind of build my self-esteem up, you know, because I mean, one day I'm going to lose my teeth and I may get some silver or gold or some kind of cap to kind of, you know, brighten my smile. But the intention when you're young, when you, the influence that push you to do these things, when you pay to put them in there, it's the intention that go with it. That's what separates the two. The next is the positivity of it, is because it'll show my people that, hey, I'm better than. Okay, so try and do better. You know, that's what it says to my people. Try. Not only try, but do better. It's possible. And for me, I thought people got goals in their mouth because they had money at one time and never wanted to lose it. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, that's a proper investment. Well, that's a nice idea. Put the goals in your mouth and nobody can never take them away from you. Well, that's what I thought that the white man was doing. Thing was to show that he was a miner. He was a miner. He was a hustler. Back then, a miner was like a hustler. He was living off the land. Whatever he found, he ate, and he kept for value. But this was only when you could take gold and store it up with the promise of a value system. What I mean by that is like the paper money we got today. It's not worth nothing. It's not worth what $100 is not worth. They call it a federal note, Federal Reserve note. All these things. I'm speaking of all these things, and it might sound like just being all over the place because it's so vast, because we have adopted so much of others.
Truth and tradition.
We know not that is the truth. The truth is we know less of ourselves and we know more of them.
That's right.
And even though some may think that this is a liability to our people. This is a bad thing for our people. There's a God. And the thing about that is that you can take a dog, put that dog in Africa. When that dog has puppies, take the puppies away from the dog and take them to America. Those puppies that's in America, when they get big and full adulthood, if you bring the other dog over, they'll recognize each other as a dog. You're a dog and I'm a dog. We the same. We eat the same, we bark the same, we like the same stuff. We just been running on two different lands.
So one wouldn't act like a hyena and the other one would act like a wolf?
One probably would tell the other, no, we don't bark over here, we howl. And the other one would say, well, we don't, I don't eat much meat. I eat fish. Because a bear comes from a dog family, canine family.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs like fish too. And what I'm saying this is because people, the separation of people is another tradition that we have adopted. From the gray to skin, the separation of the young
divide
and old. There was a letter written by Willie Lynch letter from the St. James River, telling them how to preserve the stock. The stock was the slave. He was riding down and looking at the slaves hanging from the tree. So these traditions that we adopted, holidays we adopted, I thought about this because this Christmas I was really kind of stressed out about nothing. I mean, people run around. I wanted to tell people so bad, this is not Jesus' birthday. Jesus was not born in the winter. But I can't. It's almost like going against the grain. So what I have to do is, instead of attacking one day, I'm going to tell them about their tradition. Because they think Christmas is the day, then maybe they could tell me what is Three Kings Day, January the 6th, which was one of the days that they pre-recorded Christmas on anyway. Then before that, they had it marked as March the 6th. So in that, I want to tell the people that don't nobody know when Jesus was born. They know the year. They don't know the day. Jesus' birth, life, and death was a mystery and a miracle for all the world to have faith in and believe or not. I learned something about truth. I thought the truth was Christopher Columbus discovered America. I thought the truth was that George Washington was the first president. I come to find out that those are facts. Well, my son may say, well, the facts is the truth. And I say to myself, well, facts are synonymous to truth, but facts change.
See, depending on who's on the writing.
The fact is, there is no cure for certain diseases. The truth is, there is relief from all adverse situations and sicknesses through God. God can relieve you from anything. He got a cure all. In the Muslim religion, some of the Muslims believe that God said that he created the world in balance. There is not a disease on this earth that he hasn't sent a cure for. Just because we don't have it, don't mean it ain't here.
Just say he found it yet. Supposedly, but sometimes when you're looking in the wrong place, you're doing it on purpose. When they were looking for that plane a couple of years ago, they went off in that ocean. They wasn't looking where that plane went down. They looked where they thought that plane went down, where they said they thought that plane went down. And folk believed them.
Because of influence. They were told that these are the currents. This is the way things used to go. It used to go like this. So it's got to be in this place right here.
That's the right. The same reason they couldn't find nothing else they were supposedly looking for, you know.
It's valuable that you brought up that subject right there. Because, see, that's exactly the I don't want to talk more. I mean, I want to talk more into less into specific, because, you know, nowadays people are so touchy about every subject. So I'm going to say this. We pass laws that break tradition. We pass laws I don't even really think that people really thought it out. For instance, the law making gay and lesbian marriages legal. I have nothing against people's preference of sexuality. However, I have to take a stand that holy matrimony is for people who acknowledge that God wants them to procreate. That means a man and a woman make a child and they go on and make more children. We have passed a law against the law of God. This is honor thy mother and father. By laying with a man, marrying a man, I dishonor my father. And I do my mother injustice. This law that's being passed has turned, it's a new age. It has turned the world in another direction. The laws that applied when God gave Moses the law according to the land, that law is eradicated. one of those laws said, thou shalt not kill. However, now, killing is rampant and expected. You look at the news every day, and people look at it in hopes. It used to be a time when they said we were desensitized to violence. Now it's like an aphrodisiac. We want it. People log on to the internet to see fights at an unheard rate. And I say this because, I mean, these are the traditions that we have inherited. I never thought that I would be scared to make a decision. But you have to fear, fear like respect, have fear like respect so that people don't think that you're making just quick decisions. But when you make a decision and it's thoughtful, going back to the first, when I was the first point saying about the little boy, his mom and that story, she would have broke the law and say, I'm not cutting the ends off the meatloaf. It would have bothered her. She would have put more thought into it than needed. That's why I'm a middle-aged man with kids, grandkids. However, I have elders that I have to pay respect to and that I owe this duty to pass on the knowledge. However, I want to look to my elders and tell them I'm in a situation. The end is near. I talk to you a lot of times, Daddy, and I thank God that I have a chance to see you, talk to you. Well, not see you, but to talk to you and be with you because the end is nearer. I was told that whenever you can count, you can tell from the Bible what's going to happen in the world, then you know that it's coming. The whole culture thing has changed. You have men treating men like a woman and a woman treating a woman like a man. You have a woman that has a house husband, and that's a tradition that the white people are a lot of Mexican people. You will never see them do. Boy, they don't want to. Well, they'll do it, but they ain't going to admit to it. But I already know that, these truths, they're going to separate some people. We have to remember that. We have to separate the, the traditions that are paganistic from the tradition that are family tradition. We got to get back to the basics. We got to defend our church. We got to defend our family. We got to defend our relationship. We got to start doing these things for each other. If I got a brother, defend my brother against people that want to hurt him. My wife, my relationship with my wife, defend her. It's an attack on the family. It's an attack on the church. It's an attack on marriage.
Man. How better else? And I'm going to jump in because it's almost your 10 minutes time for your commentary. But how better to keep folks separated and conquered than keep something that one person can't do by itself, one group of people can't do by themselves, and that one part of a country can't do by themselves. But to keep it saturated into the mix to where every time something comes up, they separate and divide, that's called being conquered by the mind, being conquered by the thought processes of others, to keep some type of barrier in front of you at all times. You have to be the one to realize that that's the power fluid of them all. Because everything that they throw out at you is not going to either destroy the world or make the world any better in a number of years. But you ignoring that and getting on with something that's a little stronger like education or something like that, something that you know you can help change in the books and stuff like that, in the minds of the students that's going to some of these schools and not learning, but they're not speaking up because their parents too dumb to really understand what they're saying about. As long as you keep them arguing in the school classroom about something that's immature you to the fact, while you arguing, to ask them what they're teaching them. And, you know, find out if they're on the right road. If they're not on the right road, then you'd be in the classroom every day, all day, because you'll be the teacher or something close to it. But, you know, you got to get something viable to snatch on like a pit bull and hold on to it, because separating yourself and separating others through minor things is not going to destroy a whole country by itself or within itself. That's where they get you every time. Send you off on them goose hole runs. You chase that goose all over the world, but they ain't got a dog. By the time you get back, it ain't yours no more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's I used to call it sleight of hand, sleight of mouth. You know, your daddy used to be pretty good at that. But it was always things like that, you know, like the hands of a magician. Get you looking over here, but I'm getting you over there. You know, and so all I'm saying is you're on a great road to being successful at telling people what some of the major problems are. But also you have to put in some little tidbits for understanding what they are and when to fight them.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't fight battles that been fought in other states, other disease. That's the reason they spread them out like you. You know, you have to fight them battles over there and over there and over there and over there. Well, that ain't going to God dog me get everybody put out their houses. That ain't going to get everybody not having no food on the table. What you got to fight back for is something that you know you can win, which is making sure that the folk in Dallas and the surrounding areas read
books.
You know what it's about. and make suggestions on a higher plane than what you've been doing. I got you a system today, but I'm going to wait till I see you to tell you what it is. And all of that kind of stuff. But it's almost, it's your time for your 5-minute commentary on what you said tonight and what you mean it to the world and what you're going to bring to them.
Okay. I'm ready. Okay. So, I want the people to recognize that the value of people is greater than anything. God give us, he sustains us, he provides for us. Any tradition that we think that's going to better our community, our family, ourselves, we should reevaluate it. Because it's a new age. There are new laws that have turned the world in a new direction. There is change. God said in the Bible, gold and silver are mine. Science says that gold and silver are not produced on earth. So that means gold and silver come from space and asteroids and meteors and comets that land on earth. That means what God said, gold and silver are mine. That means that gold and silver come from heaven. I remember the people say that money don't fall out of the sky. Well, I beg to differ, because it do. In science, they mine meteorites because it's the value. Thing I'm saying is keep your head to the sky. There is no limit. Do not be bound by traditions. Know your truths. I'm the son of the father. Yo, Uncle Billy, I'm the nephew, Scooter, Leon, Holloway, Parnell. And any questions, any references, I have reference material that I could relay to anybody that wants that material. I'm up for any discussion. Hope to see you listeners later, hear you listeners later, give you more from where it came from, more interesting topics. I promise to get better and utilize my time wisely, bring you some local news, resources, and travel tips. Me and my pops, meet up with us again. Anything you want to say, Dad?
Yeah. Holla. Yeah,
holla.
This is it. And what I want to say is I really enjoyed the show. It opened my eyes to a couple of things, and I'm really proud of the address that he brought about, because, of course, it was a touchy subject. But guess what? That ain't going to be the last time. So, again, I holla. I appreciate you. Whoop the queen for that 16. I'm out of here.
Holla.
Stay on, school. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions as soon as this machine go off. But I really appreciated it, man, the way you took control of your show. And, you know, like I said, it takes time. Once you get your routine up to snuff, to where you realize you're actually talking to yourself for yourself.
Yeah.
You'll hear yourself better, and you'll be able to put your voice.
And I mean, I'm kind of sleep deprived, because you know your great grandson, he's been sick, and he's been having this canker sore And I really been his mama trying to medicate him, and I've been having to try to tell her some little, you know, home remedies, stuff that worked for me, and she was snapping.
Nah, these home remedies don't work that much because the home remedies, if stuff that they put not don't work. So you know what you got to do. That's another thing that I was telling you about belief. Some of these doctors you got to have belief in, because that's another piece you stand out from the rest. Get that baby to the hospital and let them doctors tell you what it is. Then together you find a doctor that you believe in, and you know, because once you get the diagnosis, you know what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what she did. But before, you know, in the meantime, in between time, you know, I was trying to, you know, tell her how to keep it, you know, like a Lantacosol, keep it clean with, you know, put the peroxide on it. Or if he don't like that peroxide, put some honey on it. Honey got peroxide in it. So put that on it, and it will start healing itself.
Yeah, that'll clean it. That'll clean it, too. You can do everything for it.
Yeah.
I put peroxide in my ear. People say, why you do that? Why you do that? I said, the same thing in this peroxide is the stuff that they can charge you $15, $20 a bottle for to clean your ears out with. Same exact thing. Same exact ingredient. Same thing about alcohol in your shoes. I can tell you about all of them because I went there. I went to that school. I went to Bonton University. So, you know, and I was telling this lady long, long time ago, because I was getting ready to go to cosmetology school. And I told the lady, I said, man, all the old remedies I knew you used to know when I was wearing tight shoes and stuff when I was young, when I was real young, 9, 10, 12 years old, buying them two tight shoes because they look good on your feet. And shoes. Every time I buy them two tight shoes, Mama get them shoes, take them in one room, come back, got dog me, she be done poured alcohol in them. Put your feet in them, boy. I didn't know what it was for until, you know, way later on, because I stopped buying them two tight shoes. But I went I was going to this cosmetology school. I'm getting ready to go to cosmetology school. I had to have some white shoes. And the beauty supply place was hot. They had one pair in there, and they was an 8, I think. And I wore a 9 at the time because my feet was swole. And I couldn't get in them 8. That lady took that stuff that they put in a bottle, ain't did nothing to pour the alcohol in another bottle and renamed it, charged me $8, $10, $12 for it. And it wasn't nothing but alcohol. I got home and read the bottle. And I got pissed off, but I still took him over to my partner's house, and his girlfriend stole my shoes. She was a nurse. I had cut them shoes on the toes and everything. She just slipped right in them, stole my shoes. You know, it was all of that. So, you know, what goes around comes around. But you sounded good. You had clarity to your speech almost at all times. You got a little stopped up every now and then. You was congested.
Yeah.
Too much knowledge for one show. You thought you were going to try to get it all in at one time. You can't do that. You got to stick to your major subject so that you'll have total clarity and get your point across. So that at the end, when you have your commentary, you won't have to ask, do y'all want to call back? Another thing you didn't do, you didn't set your audience up. That lady that you had on the phone last week, that's what I was talking about. You know, the guru lady. Yeah, I could have called her for you, but I didn't know what you were going to be speaking about till after the fact. And I got started, got caught on the phone 3 or 4 times.
I say, we're going to get it up around. I got to get it better. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I was a little nervous. I mean,
yeah, you were nervous. God damn it.